This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Another evening of Lefty Pinkos. Brian's not with me, so it's just Kath tonight. And because we're sort of breaking with, you know, our usual sort of format, I will introduce our special guest tonight. Now, you're not going to believe, really, somebody who still walks, has worked with Circus Oz, has been the murderess in The Maids, the little Russian spy. Are they a Russian spy character in Love Never Dies? And, well, you know, just everything else as well. You just wouldn't believe what Emma J. Hawkins is capable of. She's just an amazing superwoman type goddess writer performer. And she joins me here tonight in the Lefty Pinko's hot seat. Hi, Emma J.
Hello.
Yay.
That's a lovely intro. Thank you.
I know. Well, I was just trying to kind of get all of you in the one sentence.
I know. It gets pretty tricky.
It's unwieldy. Of all of us, like, if someone says, so, what do you do? What do you tell people?
I just say I'm a performer now because there's too many tricks to my bag now. Yep. So it could just take a very long time if I tell them everything.
Can you tell me, like, of all the things that you do, what's been your favourite role so far?
Ah, I knew you'd ask me that.
Yeah, it's a tough one, I know.
It is tough. I'm currently doing a role where I play Heidi Hood in Windmill's Big Bad Wolf, which is a kids' theatre show.
And it's like Red Riding Hood, or is it sort of twisted?
A little bit different. We have a very nice wolf. He's a poetry writing wolf.
Oh, so really?
That's currently my favourite show, but you know it changes every time I do a different one.
So. And I guess there's something to be said for your favourite show at any one time.
Given time, yep.
Now, at the moment, you're just coming off the back of... Can we talk about the Yoda thing, or would you rather I didn't?
Oh, yeah, we could talk about it.
So one of the things that Emma J told me years ago was that Emma J turned down roles that were classically for someone of your size. Perhaps
yes.
You should talk a bit about that, or could you talk a bit about that?
Well, yes, and it still gets offered to me jobs that I don't particularly want to do, where you are just asked to be a short person, for example, at someone's 50th birthday party.
Oh, really?
And, you know, we do get, I get offered those things too. And I'm like, why do you want a short person at your party? And unless they want me to use my skills as a dancer, or a singer, or a performer, I'm like, well, there's no reason to have somebody like that there. So that's, basically how it's different for different performers because we all feel differently about what's our own artistic integrity. For me, I just try and judge it as I go along, and I try and make as many people happy as I can because I know that I represent a group of people as well. So I'm aware of that, I represent other short stature people in Australia and in the world. So
that must feel quite a thing to carry on your shoulders.
It can be, but I think that as a minority group, you always have to be aware that you're part of this group and that it is your, you know, responsibility to make sure that you don't do anything too daft out there. And I hope I haven't.
Speaking of daft, and for the night, you've selected the music for the night.
I have.
You're about to play your first track of the night, and it's that Jet Set Go thingy. Tell us about that. This one.
Oh, it's just one of my... I like to listen to it in the morning. It peps me up. I have my cup of tea with it often and it just makes me... And I am a bit of a jet setter, so this is kind of where it comes from.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm often at airports and you know what? They aren't that exciting after a while.
No, I think it's the... When you get there is the fun bit. It's Lefty Pinkos, Kath with you tonight, and joining me in the studio tonight, the dancer, performer, stilt walker, Emma J. Hawkins.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Oh, so right. You're with Lefty Pinkos here on Joy. And did you know that the Radiothon, sort of, you know, that prize kind of scooping thing, the prize doesn't get drawn until towards the end of the month. So even now, you can still become a member or give us a donation and
do it.
And be in the running for these amazing prizes, cars, holidays away, hotels.
Ooh,
stays,
yes,
makeovers. Yeah, be a member. Be a member before
Absolutely.
You leave.
Definitely.
Right now, I'm with Emma J. Hawkins in the studio. Now, Emma J. and I first met each other at Art of Difference in 2009.
God, I've got a better memory than I have.
I know, I do have a memory for faces. Art of Difference is a Melbourne-based arts and disabilities festival that used to be held sort of every second year and hasn't been held for a while, and everyone wants a new one, really. We'd love one next year.
Every year would be good.
And that year, you were doing a piece with a great big guy in a box.
Oh, yes, that's my own show I developed called One More Than One. We toured that around Australia and also took it to Edinburgh.
Mm. Did you really?
We did.
And one of the things I really, of course, liked about that was like the physical aspects of this. As I remember, this huge guy and you.
Yes, he was 6 foot tall. So, yeah, it was amazing. That's when I first learned to do the stilts.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so that was great. It was just looking at, it was about internet dating back when internet dating wasn't popular. So we were talking about.
I still
about,
don't think it is, really.
No, it's a
internet
world.
Hookups are okay, but internet dating seems to be like still uncool.
Well, to date someone, you have to sort of have a date with them, and that's not on the internet in my mind.
Yes. Now, that from that piece, you went on to do Fleck in Love.
No, actually, first was Circus Oz.
Oh, did you?
Specifically from that. Someone saw some of the work I did from my own show and asked me to be involved in Circus Oz, so that's what came next, yes.
And in Circus Oz, you were one of the first performers they ever moved into the troupe who was different, you might say.
Well, diversity. They are about diversity, but specifically a short statured performer I don't think has been part of Circus Oz before. So, yes, in that way I was unique, so... Yeah, and it was great. I got to use my stilt walking again and tap dancing.
You love tap dancing, don't you?
Tap dancing, and I also learnt some adagio, which was kind of scary.
What's that?
It's like balancing on people's heads and things like that. So that was kind of scary to learn.
I don't know about balancing on. I don't know about the heads thing. That's sort of a bit freaky for me. Just another thing on that. You were obviously bitten by the bug very early on because
I was. I was 10. I decided I was going to be a performer, and that was that.
And what made you want to be a performer?
I don't know. I just thought it would be... Well, I did some plays when I was really young, and I realised, oh, I'm actually really good at this. So I thought this... Yeah, I wanted to make that part of my life. And it felt like I was equal on stage, which I hadn't felt in any other part of my life. So maybe I was even a little bit better than other people, perhaps.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm talking here to Emma J. Hawkins. We're coming up to 8:15 on Joy. This is Lefty Pinko's Kaff with you tonight. And Emma J., our dancer, performer, she's just got one of the recent Ozco grants. We'll be talking about that a bit later on. Stay with us.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Oh, Kath Duncan here with Lefty Pinkos here on Joy, and my special guest tonight is Emma J. Hawkins. Now, Emma J., I'm really shocked to hear that you actually grew up in Mount Gambier in South Australia. How many other performers come from there?
I don't know. Well, Robert Heltman came from there because we have a theatre named after him.
Oh, my God. Well, actually, that's amazing. Like, that's royalty.
Maybe
right?
I'll have a theatre named after me one day. I don't know.
But nevertheless, when you decided that you were bitten by the bug and you wanted to pursue it, you decided to come to Victoria to study at Ballarat. Tell us a bit about that.
I did. I wanted to do a course where I learned all different aspects of performing. So I did the Diploma of Arts, Community Theatre and Small Companies.
Oh, that sounds so groovy.
Which is really great. So you learn every aspect of it. You're a performer, you create your own shows. So it's all about creating new Australian work too, which I think is very important as well. And it was 2 years, so it wasn't too long for me.
Yeah, right.
So it was really great. It set me up for a lot of things that I've done in my future, so it was good.
Was it, I guess I'm trying to be sensitive or something, which is not like me, really.
No, not at all. What are you doing?
Well, I guess, did it ever come up when you were studying, did anyone ever make any sort of either you're going to be great or you're going to find it really, any comments about your sort of career?
Well, not specifically from that course, because that's why I chose that course, because I knew I'd have more chance of getting in it. But I do know that a good friend of mine who was also short statured did not get into a NIDA acting course that she tried to get into.
And NIDA's really hard.
And she was guided
though.
To go into directing because they thought that that would be better for her.
Oh.
And because they said, you know, you probably won't get much work out there. And, you know, it is accurate. It is hard to get work out there. But I still think that everyone should be given an equal go at it. don't you?
Well, I do. And I guess particularly if, you know, if you are bitten by the bug, it sort of really doesn't matter so much.
I'm hoping that mainstream education are better now, but I'm not sure that that's true or not.
Nevertheless, though, I mean, I don't think it's always been, you know, the easiest thing for you to set up your career, as it is for anyone.
Oh, no, people all throughout my life and my career have told me that it would be very hard, and it has been very hard. But, you know, you get your odd supporters here and there, and it has been an amazing ride. And it is possible. I'm here working in the industry, and I have had a lot of luck. But, yeah, it's also been a tenacious hard work that has got me where I am.
And how did your family respond when you said this is what you wanted to do?
My family are the best family in the world. I suppose everyone says that.
But no, they don't, actually.
They took it with a pinch of salt, especially my mum, who's my biggest supporter. And she said, okay, so how can we make this happen? So basically, they just supported me all along the way and did whatever they can. They come and see my shows. They moved to Ballarat with me while I studied.
That is awesome.
Which is pretty lovely. So, yeah, they're great. They're great support. And, you know, for a while there, they were the only people that thought I could do it. So, yeah, that takes a lot. It's good to have people, cheerleaders.
And do you have siblings?
I have a brother.
And yes. Is he supportive as well?
He's lovely. Yeah, he's autistic, actually, so he still lives with my mum and dad.
Huh.
So we have a pretty interesting family, which I love.
That is colourful.
Very colourful. So, yeah, great people. Love them, love them.
When you first started writing your own stuff, how aware were you of making this a short person positive thing or not?
Creating my own work?
Yeah, well, writing your own stuff.
Well,
yeah.
One of the reasons I create my own work is because I don't get offered roles that really challenge me. So that's something I want to do when I create my own work. And often that is dealing with your own stuff and putting your own perspective, your own world onto the stage. That's a way to tell people what it's really all about, to walk into someone else's shoes for a little while.
I guess you've expressed to me at times, though, that you'd like to get more involved in, let's say, film and TV, because you've done a lot of stage work.
I've done a lot of stage. It's been more open-minded, I've found, over the years. Yeah, I'd love to do TV and film, but it's very hard to crack that market when you do look a bit different. So, but, you know, Game of Thrones have done it. So
yes,
I'm like,
yeah.
I could be the next one.
I can see you as some of those sort of queens with your hair and, you know, all trizzed up and like a warrior kind of character.
For me, I like watching different types of people on television. And I mean, it's fascinating to watch other people's stories and lives. And I think that Australia's ready for it.
Did you watch Cast Offs, the UK show?
I did.
Did you enjoy that?
I did enjoy it. Yeah, I did like it. One of my friends was in it, actually, so that's why I watched it.
But yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Australia needs to get on board, I say.
But say, just looking at another show, did you get to see any of the UK show The Undateables?
No.
Ah. Oh, we won't go into it then. There's a lot of controversy around that.
Right.
Yeah.
But a lot of people mention, what is it, Life is Short? Is that the Warwick? What's it called?
Warwick
Davis one.
No, sorry, don't know. I saw
it's on ABC.
Okay.
A lot of people mention it to me. It's about, because he was the actor that was in Willow, and he has created a series where he's an agent for short statured performers. And it's a bit of a mockumentary, I think they call it.
Yep.
So it's taking the mickey a little bit, but people think that it's serious. So, you know, they don't get the tongue-in-cheek side of it, so they take offence on my behalf.
Oh, wow, really?
I find quite amusing, because I actually quite like the show, because I actually know that most things he talks about on there are pretty accurate, actually, out there in the performing world.
I find that sometimes people who aren't disabled are much more sensitive about, you know, performance and images than me, who is disabled. Sometimes I see a lot more humour that I think can go over the heads of those.
Absolutely. And if I didn't have humour in my life, it would be a very different life, I think. You have to look at the absurdities and just be able to laugh at them, I think.
Now, Lefty Pinkos, because that's where you are on Joy at the moment, coming up to 23 past 8. Lefty Pinkos is a show about politics. How do you define yourself politically, Emma?
Oh,
she's looking
dear Lord.
A bit rabbit in the headlights.
Politically?
Yeah. No, you don't have to give it away. You can say whatever you like.
Well, I don't agree with the political system that's running at the moment.
Yep.
So I'm more of a greenie.
A greenie, yeah.
But also, it's more about that people need to be treated as people. That's how I think politics should work, that we should all be equal and and count it as such, yes. But a lot of people expect my work to be quite political because I'm from a minority group.
Mm.
But I wouldn't call myself a soapbox performer. I'm not interested in telling people how bad my life is or how inspirational I am or what they should be doing. I'm just more about creating a good theatrical story that people want to see.
What sort of theatrical stories that you've seen that aren't yours that have moved or shaken or you've enjoyed yourself?
Wow, okay. Trying to think over the years what I've seen. I love Shakespeare. Really good Shakespeare is amazing because I've had the chance to do Shakespeare.
I'm astonished that you say Shakespeare.
Because it's language and it's just beautiful if it's done really well. What else? There's some great movement companies that I've seen. Mm. Philippe Gentil, who is a French puppeteer, which I saw when I was really young. My parents took me to see theatre when I was really young, so it's quite privileged. So that was, and he created these amazing stories with puppets and Bangara Dance Company. It's another one I saw when I was really quite young. So that's about Australian work, which was really exciting. And the Circus Oz I saw when I was quite young too.
I saw their first ever performance at the Paris Theatre in Sydney.
That's amazing.
Awesome. I think I was like 20. It was like 1980 or something. Absolutely. Something like that. Yeah, forever ago.
So, yeah, I got to see a lot of different ballet, and not that I ever wanted to be a ballerina. I realised I didn't have the physique for a ballerina.
How did you fall into tap dancing, by the way?
My friend, Kieran Estamel, dances as well, so I learnt a little bit through that.
Have you ever tap danced together? Oh, my God, that would be so awesome.
You know, I don't think we actually have.
Oh.
I'm sure it'll happen one day. And Circus Oz, Mel Fife, Strong Woman was a tap dancer of all things, so I got to use it again, yeah. And it's a good dance where you can be muscly, because I'm quite muscly built.
Yes.
So it was good that kind of suits tap dancing and you can make noise. Not that my parents liked that while I was learning it.
I love the noise.
It's more like a musical instrument, yeah. It's amazing.
With the feet.
Yep.
But I suppose there's not much call for it, though, is there?
It's a little bit of an old-fashioned, perhaps, style of dancing, but I think it should come back. I think it's beautiful. Like Tap Dogs and Hot Shoe Shuffle recently have had shows that are tap dancing. It's really hard. But it's the hardest form of dance. That's why the dance shows don't often have tap in it, because you can't learn it quickly. You have to stick at it for quite a while.
And actually messing up tap is terrible. You know,
well,
the beats
because you
off.
Can hear it and you can't get away with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And though I take my hat off to anyone that dances and manages to keep it together for any length of time, really. Coming up to 8:30 here on Lefty Pinko's on Joy, of course. Stay with us. We're with Emma J. Hawkins, the amazing.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
With Lefty Pinkos, to be precise. Now, I have Emma J. Hawkins in the studio with me tonight, dancer, stilt walker, circus acrobat, writer, performer. Now, earlier this year, everybody across Australia was excited, well, particularly those disability arts, when the Australia Council for the Arts announced for the first time that they were going to have these targeted arts grants for artists with disability. Now, they'd sort of done some surveying and had worked out across their grants, which is like music, visual arts, performance and so forth, that the numbers of artists identifying as, you know, being disabled or deaf were very, very low. And so they decided to run this inaugural grant scheme, and they went all around Australia sort of talking about how you apply and all this. And they got 210 applications from around Australia. And of those, just recently, I think just a week ago, they announced the 25 winners across Australia. Now, look, here at Joy, we should all jump for joy because out of the 25, 9 were Victorians. And considering,
I know, it's so exciting.
You know,
that's a big chunk.
Yeah. You know, I think there's been a momentum from events like Art of Difference that have helped build up the confidence of those people in Victoria who are involved in arts who are also different as well. Now, Emma J., you applied for one.
I did.
And you got
one.
I
was successful in getting it. Yeah, it's amazing.
Just so congratulations to you.
I know, I'm excited and terrified at the same time.
Now, tell us a bit about what you said you were going to do.
Well, I've been talking about doing a solo work for a good few years. So when this grant opportunity came up, I thought, I've got a good chance of getting this. I should at least you know, give it a go and put it in. And, yeah, and it was actually great to articulate what I actually wanted to do with my solo work and what I wanted to get out of it. So, yeah, it was a really great process. And then I got the money. So, yeah, it's all going to be happening.
Now, what's it going to look like? Is it like a multimedia thing? Are you standing up saying it? Are you, like,
it's
how are you?
It's going to be a bit of everything. So putting all my skills together in one show, this is the plan. And it's going to be a bit autobiographical, I think. So a lot about my life and what I've had to deal with, and but in an interesting and theatrical way. So I'm not sure, there'll be dancing and tap dancing and singing and all different kinds of things, I imagine. At this stage, it's going to be a creative development, so I'm not quite sure what the actual production is going to look like.
Oh, this fantastic.
This is like the little baby that we're going to create. Yeah.
But everyone dreams of getting creative development money.
Absolutely.
What do you think pushed your application over the edge? Oh, in a good way.
Yeah, over the edge?
Not off the table, onto the table. Yeah,
yeah, I think I've got a good body of work behind me now because I've been working in the industry professionally for a good few years. So, and hopefully that's stood me well. Yes. And I've created my own shows before. So I think that helped. And also I've been involved in shows which have artists with a disability in it, like Take Up Thy Bed and Walk, which we did over in
Fabulous.
Adelaide.
One of my favourites of all time.
Equity Diversity Committee I'm on at the moment. So I'm all about accessibility for productions on stage and off stage. Yeah.
And do you think, though, like with the whole application process, did you find it, you know, fairly I think you started a week before the deadline.
Sure. We weren't going to tell that secret. Yes.
But I remember you ringing up saying, I'm going to do it.
Because, you know, us creative types, we love a deadline, don't we?
Yes.
With a week to go, I decided I was going to. I had it in my head already what I wanted to do, but I actually needed to write it down. So that was a good process in order to do that. I have written a lot of grant applications in the past.
Yes, haven't we all?
Yes. I didn't know the format. It wasn't quite so scary as it might be if you were first doing one. So,
and why is it time now to do an autobiographical piece?
Because, I don't know, it's like I'm at a crossroad in my career and I'm not sure which way I want to go. So in a way, this will allow me to get out all the stuff that I need to get out. And working by myself is something I've been a bit nervous about because I know that one of my skills is that I work well with other performers. So when I won't have anyone else in the room, I think that'll be an interesting process for me.
Are you going to be working with a mentor or
a
director?
I do. I have an amazing team. I've got Maud Davey as my director.
Oh, my God.
Ingrid Verent, who's going to be my movement consultant.
Now, who's she?
She used to be Restless for a dance company for a little while, but she's Melbourne-based now. And I've got Gail Mellis, my designer.
Oh, wow.
And Matthew Widdett and Melissa Reeves, who's going to do some writing for me. So, yeah, I'm really lucky to have a great team on board.
Did you pull that team together during the application process or after?
In a week, yes, I did.
Oh, wow, man. That's mad.
I made a few phone calls and they all said yes, so I was quite surprised, but it's lovely.
Yeah. I'm really impressed by you being able to get that together in a
week.
And
also I wanted to choose a team that were on my page that understood what I was trying to do with this project because normally you go into a project with them having a different page of their own. So I was like, this is what I want to do, and they understood where I was coming from. So, yeah, I think that's really important. When you're creating your own work.
I think it's amazing. You're with Lefty Pinkos on Joy here. I'm talking to Emma J. Hawkins. We're talking about all sorts of amazing arty things across Australia.
Arty
things and performing things and identity stuff on Lefty Pinkos. Gail Mellis, when you worked with her in South Australia on, a pioneering
piece.
It was
an amazing show, yeah, Take Up Thy Bed and Walk.
Tell us a bit about that one.
Well, what was the special thing about it was it also integrated sign language. We had a sign language interpreter as one of the performers, which is pretty rare.
Yes.
And also we had tactile tour at the start, and we had all things embedded into the show to make it accessible for all types of people, audio description, which I think is fascinating and something I want to do more of in my own work.
Yes, right.
Now, and it was a show that wasn't scared to go to the raw places, that things that disabled artists have to deal with. Yeah.
I think one of the, because I flew to Adelaide to see it, I couldn't resist.
We made her as she came.
Yes, everyone said I had to go, even though I was totally broke, as usual, I had to go to Adelaide to see Take Up Thy Bed and Walk. And one of the amazing things about the show, I thought, was as you walked in, you were given a candle lantern, you know, a nice thing to hold, and the stage was largely sort of dim. And then on the stage were the five performers, or was it six?
Five.
Five performers, each with their little bed and their little, it's sort of like like a dresser.
Yeah, side table.
Yeah, side tables around them with things. And you could actually walk in and out of the performer's space.
Absolutely.
They were in character already and had these little things to say. Right. But you could actually touch their possessions and, you know, the surface of the place. And you're allowed to leave your candle there as well.
Yes.
And I just thought that was a really beautiful, calm and peaceful way to kind of, you know, acquaint yourself with the space and the performance.
Absolutely. And it connects the audience to us straight away. So, yeah, it's a great way to start a performance. I want to do something similar with my own work. I want to create a small space that the audience have to go, like, traverse through.
Cool.
So that they have to know what my life's a little bit like.
Oh, wow, what a good idea.
Yep. So that's a little bit of the plan, just a little bit of the secrets.
Just in terms of traversing space, did you happen to go to Hell House in Melbourne? Oh, that was Back to Back's Hell House. That was so intense.
Yes.
Back to Back is, again, an inclusive performance company in Melbourne, actually in Geelong, and one of our most famous exports. And they did this performance called Hell House, which is based on an actual performance that's done in fundamentalist, like, communities in the States.
Yep.
And it's all these horrible things that are going to happen to you if you don't pursue the Bible and
I see.
God
and
that's stuff.
Pretty amazing.
And you squeeze through tunnels with people screaming at you and all this, and you go into this God space that's all lit up, and it was really
that sounds immersive and amazing.
Yes, it totally was. And now that you're doing the, well, you're sort of in planning. What else is the rest of the year for you?
Oh, I'm touring a little bit with Big Bad Wolf, so playing Heidi Hood.
Tell us a bit about her, because she's the competition, no, what do you call her?
Oh, yeah, she's a type A type of girl. She likes to win trophies.
Trophies.
Yes, and if she wins one more trophy, she's going to have a planet named after her. So, yes, she loves her trophies. She's got a house full of trophies.
Oh, what a fantastic character to play.
She's great. And then she meets, well, she has to win a poetry tournament in order to get this planet named after her. And she's not actually very good at poetry.
Do you have to read out bad poetry?
I do.
What a cringy
terrible
thing. Can you read us a bit that
no,
you do?
It's terrible. You'll have to come and see the show. But the lovely thing is the wolf knows how to write poetry, so that's how they become friends.
Oh, so he doesn't either. He helps her write poetry.
He's a lovely wolf, yeah. It's
to
a
win the
little
trophy.
Bit of a different take on the wolf.
And as I touched on earlier in the show, you were this quite bizarre character, because I've seen it on YouTube. You played Yoda in the Star Wars Spectacular.
I have, The Empire Strips Back, yes. Yeah, so that's a burlesque show.
Yes.
It's done by a Sydney company called Tenderloin. So, yeah, and they've created all different Star Wars characters. And I'm playing Yoda at the moment. So
you're still
dancing,
playing that?
Yeah, a little bit. I've got one more leg to go.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, my life is pretty. When I look at my CV, I go, wow, it's been a bit crazy and sporadic.
From the maids to Yoda.
But, you know, that is how I've had to do it, because there's just not enough work out there. So I've had to multi-skill and jump around and do lots of different things. It's definitely made it interesting. It's never boring.
I bet.
And I just laugh when I'm packing my suitcase off to go play Yoda again. It's quite funny.
And the costume is really Yoda.
It's really Yoda, yeah.
With the ears and fluff and the coat. And
yeah,
everything.
It's pretty hard dancing with with a mask.
Is it quite thick to wear?
Yeah, and you can't breathe or see very well.
Because you're quite physical with it too.
I am, yeah, because I dance.
You do,
as it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting.
That's the things
the
we
glamour,
put ourselves.
The glamour of the business. It's not all what it seems when you're out there.
This is Lefty Pinkos. It's Kath here. I'm talking to Emma J. Hawkins on this beautiful, dark and coolish Tuesday night in Melbourne. Stay with us.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
There's a lot of laughter here tonight, I think. Now, you know, I've got in our notes, ask Emma what it's like to live the high life. And you were just laughing at me and saying that might not necessarily.
Well, not typically to me, being not that tall, yes.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that. It might not be as glamorous as it's cracked up to be.
It isn't often as glamorous as people imagine it is. It's actually quite hard work. A lot of work goes into the shows before you even see them. But it is amazing. You get to wear amazing costumes, you get to play these great characters and play with great people every day, so that part is lovely. But airports, I am definitely over.
Hey, do you ever find yourself, you know, like when you do a long hotel room run and you wake up in the middle of the night and you suddenly think, where am I? Do you find that?
I used to forget which airport I was in and where I was going. That happened when I was in airports for a long time. I remember 30 flights
sort of
in
looking
one year.
Around.
I'd just be like, I had no idea where I was after a while. Yeah. Yeah, motel rooms you also get over because they're not home. You miss home a lot. They're quite, I don't know, the decor's never great. So it's like living in somebody else's place. Yeah, it's never that amazing. But Foxtel's fun every now and then. Bad TV.
Now, Emma J, all of us know you as the performer, writer, etc.
They do.
But what they maybe don't know is that quietly over the last year or so, you've also been studying bookkeeping.
Yes.
I mean, we wouldn't have put those two things together. They sound like very extreme ends of the Emma J.
It does. Well, I actually have a good head for figures. And my master plan is to have a bit of another job that could supply me an income while I create the amazing work that I want to create. So that's my master plan for the future. And accounting was something I thought that I'm good at. So that could be something. Yeah, I'm also a treasurer of the VABT at the moment.
What's the VABT?
VAPT is the Victorian Actors Benevolent Trust.
Oh, wow.
So we help out performers and actors and crew and things that get into dire straits, medical things that they're unable to get themselves out of. So, yeah, it's a really great charity. Very proud to be treasurer of that. So, yeah, I'm putting into practice all the theory that I'm doing in my course at the moment.
And how survivable is the performing life for you?
Survivable? It is hard. And I've been working professionally for 16 odd years and it's still hard. It's always a struggle, and I'm not gonna lie, I don't make a lot of money out of it. I make enough money to survive on, yes, but a lot of people, I'm not driving Lamborghinis, I don't have a penthouse apartment, that kind of thing. But it's definitely worth it. It's been a joy to live this life and choose this career, and it's been amazing, and I will continue to do it, and I just want to make good choices and do amazing work from now on.
And the bookkeeping thing maybe is like a part-time thing. How do you see that?
I know, I'm just going to make my life even harder and juggle more things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the plan is to work that part-time and freelance that as well as my performing. So, yeah, I'm just going to even make my life more complicated. But that's how I like it.
But it sounds also like you're going to be really multi-skilled.
Yeah, I think that's one way I've continued as a performer is to be multi-skilled. Mm. I've had to learn all these different things. It isn't enough just to be one thing anymore. You can't just be an actor. Mm. You can't just be a singer or a dancer. You have to do it all these days, especially if you're a little bit different. Mm. You have to be able to put even more out there.
Now, you must run across other performers, you know, who are different, either, you know, deaf or disabled.
Absolutely.
And they must, because you are a poster person.
I'm a poster
for
girl.
Success, you know, within disability arts.
Yes, sure.
In all different sorts of ways. What sort of advice do you give others?
Have a backup job, no. Basically, you've got to be really determined and you really want to have to do this for your life. What else? You need to multi-skill. Mm. You need to think outside of the square and not just be, I'm going to get my job in this way. You have to be able to, if you can't knock on the front door, go around the back door. If you can't knock the back door, climb in a window. Do you know what I mean? You have to think of lots of different ways to get in and create your own work. That's another way that I was able to put myself out there so people saw me. That it's a very hard thing to create your own work. But I think it's a great way to put yourself out there in the industry.
And I remember you saying about playing Fleck that it was amazing to be away from having to do your own costumes, makeup, props, light and la la.
Absolutely. That is the biggest production I've ever been a part of. Love Never Dies was an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical that I was in for a year. And, yes, amazing costumes. You have a dresser who dresses you. You have a wig person. You can have a makeup person. And, yeah, it's a huge production with hundreds of people involved. Mm. And I just got to be a performer. Yeah, so that was pretty amazing. And a long-running show, yeah, 8 shows a week for a year. It's pretty amazing.
And my understanding is that with that role, they changed what they thought of that role in Australia to be a different person from now on. How did that
Well, Fleck in the original production in the UK wasn't a short stature performer.
Really?
So that's, in a way, that was the great thing for the Australian premiere, that they decided to go along those lines. So
what was that audition like? Because I would have thought that would be a bit scary to turn up to an audition for Love Never Dies, this huge Andrew Lloyd Webber.
I'm always terrified at auditions. People don't necessarily know that.
Tell us a bit about that one.
Yeah, it was a big deal because it was Andrew Lloyd Webber, and I didn't have a lot of notice, to be honest. So, and I had to prepare a song, and singing scared the bejesus out of me back then. I've got better at it over the years.
What song did you do for them? Oh, you don't remember, do you?
When I Get My Name in Lights from Boy from Oz.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, so that was one that I knew quite well, so I was able to... And I remember I ran around the piano a few times because I was so nervous. I just got out my heebie-jeebies. Yeah, it was pretty funny. But, and it is hard because there's a whole panel of people watching you, and you just have to go, okay, they're just people. They're just people. And there's a camera. You have to stand on this spot. And but luckily there was a few people in the room who already knew me and knew my work previously. So it's like all these things came together and worked in my favour.
Because so, yeah, that's a peachy one to be able to do a huge musical like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. And people work so hard in musicals. I didn't really realise because they're lovely. They're amazing to watch, but they work so hard because they sing and they dance and they deal with all these costume changes and crazy stuff. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Well, that brings us to just about the end of our lovely rant. Oh, look, we've got a few messages on that. On the computer, I just went, oh, I must have a look. There's Lauren, who's our podcaster, and she says, so excited to listen to Lefty Pinko's at home for the first time. Yay. Go, Kath, and hi, Emma J.
How lovely.
And Jim Hyde, who's a fan and Monday Nights is Nothing Sacred co-presenter, goes, Kath, I'm loving the show tonight. Thanks, Jim. That brings us to the end. Next week, we're going to have this amazing artist on.
Ooh, another one.
Yeah, well, we kind of have a bit of it. I think it's sort of like an arts and culture and politics and passion program somehow.
You just know good people, Kath.
Yeah, well, and Brian does too. This is actually one of Brian's for next week. So all really excited about that. You've been listening to Lefty Pinko's tonight with Kath and Emma J. Have a fantastic evening, and we'll see you all again next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.